On an autumn day in 1978, the College of Cardinals took the radical step of turning to a non-Italian to lead the Roman Catholic Church for the first time since the 16th century. The man who came to be called affectionately the Polish Pope would reign at the Vatican for 26 years until his death yesterday at the age of 84. NPR's Silvia Poggioli looks back on highlights in the life and papacy of John Paul II.
When, on October 16, 1978, Karol Wojtyła made his first appearance as Pope John Paul II on the balcony of St. Peter's Square, the mainly Italian crowd warmly applauded this man who said he had come from a faraway country.
Io ho avuto paura di ricevere questa nomina, ma ho fatto nel spirito dell'obbedienza.
He told the crowd, "I was afraid to accept this nomination, but I did so in obedience to our Lord and with total faith in his mother, the Holy Madonna." But fear was a sentiment John Paul never showed. And at the end of his papacy, supporters and critics alike agreed that he was above all a man of great self-confidence. His view of the world did not embrace any gray areas of doubt. On his first visit to his homeland as pontiff in 1979, John Paul rejected the division of Europe ratified at Yalta. The visit rallied the Polish people, leading to a wave of strikes and the creation of Solidarity, the first independent trade union in the Soviet bloc. And just as Solidarity's popularity was at its peak, John Paul became the target of an assassin's bullet in Rome in May 1981. The gunman, a right-wing Turk named Mehmet Ali Agca, was immediately apprehended. The Pope forgave him from his hospital bed. Years later, a Rome court did not find evidence of Agca's claim that the plot against the Pope had been hatched by the KGB in Moscow to get rid of the man who was threatening Soviet control over Eastern Europe. Nevertheless, that first visit to Poland was the catalyst of events that ultimately brought down the communist regime in Poland and had a domino effect throughout Eastern Europe. In January 1990, John Paul spoke of those tumultuous changes.
Varsovie, Moscow, Budapest, Berlin,
Warsaw, Moscow, Budapest, Berlin, Prague, Sofia and Bucharest have become stages in a long pilgrimage towards liberty. It is admirable that in these events entire peoples spoke out. Women, young people, men, overcoming fears. Their irrepressible thirst for liberty speeded up developments, made walls tumble down and opened gates.
John Paul believed that it was providence that he, a Pole, had been chosen to lead the Catholic Church. He had lived through the Nazi occupation, World War II, and then communism. He felt the call to the priesthood when he was 20, following the death of his father. He studied theology clandestinely during the war and was ordained in 1946. In 1963, he was appointed Bishop of Krakow. In that position, he proved himself a politically astute adversary of the atheist communist regime. He illegally organized teams of workers to build churches overnight. John Paul had been chosen by his electors in 1978 to resolve what many of them saw as the Church's crisis of identity following the Second Vatican Council. While John Paul repeatedly proclaimed his backing of Vatican II reforms, his actions were often seen as denying clergy and faithful alike the new freedoms encouraged by the Council. And early in his papacy, he staked out his position on what became one of the most divisive issues between liberal and traditionalist Catholics, the ban against artificial birth control handed down by his predecessor, Paul VI. 1 year after his election, addressing a group of doctors working on a natural alternative to artificial contraception, John Paul said one should not cheat with the doctrine of the Church.
One must constantly aim at this ideal of conjugal relations, which involves self-mastery and is respectful of the nature and purpose of the marriage act, rather than make any concession, more or less broad, more or less explicit, to the principle and practice of contraception.
Over the years that followed, the Pope continued his hard line against contraceptives, even to prevent the spread of AIDS. And he set down uncompromising guidelines on an entire spectrum of moral issues and condemned legalized abortion and euthanasia as part of a culture of death. In 1979, he addressed U.S. bishops in Chicago.
And as the
compassionate pastors. You also rightly stated homosexual activity as distinguished from homosexual orientation is morally wrong.
He never hid his disdain for secular Western societies, which he believed encouraged Catholics to pick and choose what they wanted from church doctrine. Throughout his papacy, John Paul insisted on the primacy of papal authority, and numerous theologians in the United States, Latin America, and Europe were disciplined for expressing dissent with Rome. Despite the growing worldwide shortage of priests, he steadfastly upheld the requirement of celibacy for the clergy, and went so far as to put the seal of papal infallibility on the ban against women priests. And while John Paul encouraged political change in his homeland and Eastern Europe, he was much harsher with Latin American priests who had embraced leftist-inspired liberation theology to combat social injustice. One of his most difficult trips was to Nicaragua in 1983, where the revolutionary Sandinista leaders in power included five priests, whom John Paul promptly suspended. Raising his voice above hecklers in the crowd, the Pope lashed out against those he believed undermined the unity of the Church.
Queridos hermanos y hermanas,
dear brothers and sisters, keep in mind Christian unity can only be saved when each is capable of giving up on his own ideas, plans and commitment, even good ones, for the greater good of communion with the bishop, with the pope, and with the entire church.
John Paul ensured implementation of his philosophy through the appointment of conservative bishops. Many Vatican watchers say John Paul also tried to ensure continuity of his views by appointing most of the cardinals who will be eligible to vote for his successor. On becoming pope, John Paul believed his destiny was to lead the church into the third millennium and to restore Christian unity. But his insistence on the primacy of the papacy failed to heal Christianity's many schisms, despite his visits to many Orthodox countries. And concerned over the exodus of many Christians from the Middle East, he also tried unsuccessfully to broaden the dialogue with Islam. He was far more successful in promoting reconciliation with Judaism after centuries of church persecution and contempt of Jews. In March 2000, he fulfilled one of the earliest dreams of his papacy, a pilgrimage to the Holy Land that was fraught with emotion and symbolism. And he won the hearts of many Jews when he visited Jerusalem's Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial. He stood stooped and frail in the dark, grim Hall of Remembrance for the 6 million Jews killed by the Nazis. There he expressed the Church's sadness over the hatred, acts of persecution, and displays of anti-Semitism directed against the Jews by Christians at any time and in any place. The twilight of John Paul's papacy coincided with the clerical sex abuse scandal that rocked the U.S. Catholic Church. Outrage over the American bishop's handling of that scandal triggered widespread demands for greater lay participation in what had become John Paul's highly centralized church. Through his many foreign pilgrimages, John Paul conducted a highly public papacy and became a global media star. But he remained an enigma. He was one of the most beloved and admired figures of the century, but for many among his flock, he leaves a Catholic Church far removed from the spirit engendered by the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.